Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
Thank you, ladies. Beautiful. Thank you for reminding us that no one cares like Jesus. And I'm sure that you feel that way, because there are times when all of us feel alone. But he's there, and he does care. And we said last week, cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. Tonight, I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 1. I can't get out of Philippians. I don't know. There's something that the Holy Spirit keeps moving in my heart to bring before you, and I know there's God's purpose in it. And I know that the Holy Spirit is working to bring all of us to a place where we benefit God in the sense of bringing glory to him. We've lost a great man of God. I don't mean to say it that way. We haven't lost Billy Graham, because we know where he can be found. And what a man of faith. What a man of God. He just kept his focus and did exactly what God wanted him to do. And so this week has been a week of that, as well as today. And I know tonight I want to express from Philippians a little bit of what it means to be a person of faith and to follow God, and what it means for those of you who are people of faith and support ministry that God has put forth to bring forth the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am blessed tonight. Mary and I are very blessed, because God once again demonstrated his love to us by providing this church to us to be able to minister, to be able to serve, to be able to proclaim the word of God to you is an honor and a privilege. And we're blessed because, whether you know it or not, very few people ever get this kind of privilege. As well as when I had my bypass when I was 45 and I thought the ministry was over with, I thought the same way when I couldn't put it together why God wanted me to retire, when I was struggling with how do you retire from a call. It's kind of hard to do, you know. And I now understand where God was leading. You see, where God guides, it's been said he provides. And it's having patience and waiting on the Lord to see what the Lord wants to do. That's the hard part. But for all of us that walk in the Spirit, that believe in Jesus Christ, and accept the fact that God has his plan for our lives, and do his will, he will open doors and opportunities for all of his people to proclaim that good news. And in Philippians, I realize we've been through it, but I want to share again. I want to begin reading at verse 3, chapter 1. These are the words of the Lord from the apostle. And I was wondering tonight if I can just give you a feeling here of where he's at. He says in verse 3, I thank my God. Now, those few words right off the bat, I thank my God. You will find they're replete in the scriptures. In fact, as I was thinking about the prayers, do you understand that Jesus, many times, and of course we have our time of private prayer that we pray on behalf of our own needs, and sometimes intercession on behalf of others, but we have public prayers as well. And if you go through the scripture, you'll find out Jesus is replete in praying publicly. Why did he do that? Because he was glorifying his Father in heaven and wanted to give glory to God so that the kingdom of God might grow. You know, I see that phrase, and I realize that the apostle was saying, I thank God, the same way that Jesus would say the same thing if he were praying. He says, every time I remember you. Now, folks, when you come to church tonight, don't you find a sense of community, camaraderie among the saints that are in the faith tonight? I mean, every Wednesday night that I come here, I'm encouraged and I'm blessed by people of faith. I understand more clearly now, after walking with the Lord a lot of years, how important the gathering of the saints are. We're to lift up and encourage one another and inspire one another. And I'm sure that everyone here is going to have something this week that's going to go on that's going to be maybe a discouragement or a distraction or something from your faith. But be encouraged, my friends, because God is working. As we learned last week, even in those things that we can't understand why God is working, he's working. Even when those discouragement and those frustrations and those downsides come, you know what? God's working it together for your good. And it's very important that we understand that, because there are times when you can't see it. You say, I can't figure it out. How is he working it together for my good? How can something as bad as what's going on right now end up being for my good? Well, I submit to you tonight that it is true. God is working together for our good. The apostle says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Okay, let's go where the rubber meets the road. You're not praying prayers of sadness. You're praying prayers of joy. You see, there's two different things that happen in the scriptures. One is, you pray for joy when you're praying publicly. Why? Because you're expressing the gratitude of your heart, the goodness that God has given to you, the blessings God's bestowed upon you publicly for the joy that's in your heart. You're not doing it like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. Do you remember that in Matthew 6? Boy, Jesus rebuked them in a number of ways because they loved to stand up and have everybody recognize them when they prayed. It wasn't about the fact that they should stand up and be recognized. What they were should have been standing up for and be recognized for the glory of God. And yet what they were doing was they were taking their private prayers and bringing them into the public. Now, I say that because I'm growing even more in my faith to the place to where I will humbly bow my head in the presence of anyone to give God the glory. Man, there's nothing wrong with it. And I will tell you what, people see it. Not that you do it to be seen. If you do it to be seen, you're like the scribes and the Pharisees. You're only just blowing your own horn. But when you stand up and give thanks to God, that's what he's doing here. He's giving thanks to God for his goodness. Then I guarantee you this, the Father in heaven sees it, and he is receiving glory for it. But you do it with joy because of your, get this, partnership. I like that. Did you know that the Bible says you're a partner with God? Your partnership, he says here, in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Who started the work in you? Jesus. At one time, we were blind. We couldn't see. We were dead in our transgressions and our sin. And one day, because of Jesus Christ, our eyes were open. You know, we can't take a lamp and cover it up and hide ourselves once we know Christ. You can't put it under a bushel. It's not going to do any good. God has a plan to win the world to him so that they might know him and have eternal life. And so the apostle says, listen, God is going to complete the work or the plan that he has started in your life since the day that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Are there going to be potholes? Yeah, there's a lot of them out here. Yeah, no kidding. I was talking to Mary the other day. We're driving along, and I said, oh, my Lord, Mary, I'm going down the Anthony Wayne Trail, making that little journey to Burn Road. Yeah, you know where I'm at. And I says, come on, tax dollars, go to work, will you please, somewhere around here, because my car is not going to stand much more of this. I mean, I've already replaced two shocks in it, so what the heck? Well, our walk is like that. There are times when we're going to come across some potholes. But guess what? Jesus is going to carry us through the potholes. He's going to keep us going. And the apostle comes in and he says, you know what? I want you to know this, that even in the hard times, go with the joy. Keep the joy and don't let Satan rob your joy. It is right, he says, for me to feel this way about all of you. Now, you're going to think I'm just pandering, but I'm not. I'm serious. When I come here, I feel the joy. I feel the camaraderie, the friendship, the happiness. And even though I can't remember half your names yet, I'm getting to know the faces. And the smiles are better than the frowns. And guess what? I know that you are people that pray because I can feel your prayers. Mary and I have been praying for a lot of you, and a lot of you pray for us. The apostle had to feel this way. He says, it's right because of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. You're partners in sharing in God's grace. Now, this is not another one of those sermons. I used to spend 20 hours a week in sermon building when I first got out of school. Boy, they were great sermons. I loved them. Yeah. I was my best fan. And I'd say to Mary on Monday morning, why did everything seem to just go right over everybody's head? I mean, you know how profound that was and how enlightening that was and how inside. You see, the problem is I had prepared a long time with them, but I had not prepared where the people were at. I was just preparing what the college taught me. And then one day the Holy Spirit hit me and said, why don't you share what I'm giving you? And boy, what a change that was. And the Apostle Paul, here he is in chains. He's in prison. And all of a sudden, he shares with the Philippians. He says, how long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus, confirming the gospel? And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Notice the significance of his prayer. He's lifting up God. His praise is for God. His praise is not to glorify himself in any way whatsoever. And his praise is for the people. And he loves the people because the people, by the way, have been caring for him. They've been lifting him up in prayer. They've been serving this apostle. And sometimes I wonder, do we lift up those that are in chains for Christ? Do we pray for those who have need? I mean, the scripture in Timothy says, for every creature of God is good. That's Timothy 4:4-5. And nothing to be refused, it should be received with thanksgiving. Even Jesus, as they were eating, took bread and blessed it at the table. And he gave it to the disciples. He said, take and eat, this is my body. I know it seems like there are times when our prayers are not important, but I'm going to tell you tonight they're very important. And I'm going to tell you a story, maybe two. And then I'll let you go because I know you're full of roast beef and mashed potatoes. And my intent is not to put you asleep. It's to keep you awake. Yeah. Yeah, Jeff, keep his head up, will you please? Okay, thank you. No, he's a good guy. He won't go to sleep on me. I had a chance in the mid-80s to represent a church. We had a mission church that we'd started in Swanton. And the district had asked me if I would go to California. They had a big 5-year convention. And the district superintendent said, Dave, your church is a miracle church. You're winning souls and growing, and God is blessing. And we need you to come and be a keynote speaker. Now, my friends, that's far away from where my life began. Trust me. I did win first place singing Hound Dog by Elvis Presley. In fourth grade, that was my big accomplishment. And I went to I went to California. Did not expect what happened there. What it was the convention of the Church of the Nazarene that I was with, and they came from all over the world, every mission field, thousands, thousands, and thousands from everywhere. They put me on a platform in the middle of the Coliseum, and the next thing I know, they said, you're on, and I looked up, and there were 50,000 people in the crowd. Yeah, you should talk about stage fright. I said, Lord, help me, because what I want to talk about, I need your strength and I need your understanding, because this is not in my pay grade. And I talked to the crowd, and following the message, they had set up a seminar that was to be led by me to encourage, crazy enough, to encourage pastors that were starting a new work and wanted to proclaim the gospel. And I had 90 pastors come to that gathering. And I talked to them about this fact. The question was, how do you grow a church? And my answer was, you don't. That unless you are full of the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit is leading you, you can serve beer and hot dogs and popcorn and whatever you want. But gentlemen, I urge you in this. Be filled with the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead you in what you are doing. I will tell you that I didn't realize there were so many pastors that were hurting. They had been told a lot of things. If you go in the ministry, it's for this or it's for that. If you do this, you do that. Most of it, as I talked to them, we dialogued and I shared with them, and I said, you need to be free in Christ to do what God has called you to do. And most of them responded by, how do I do that? Because I feel like I'm in chains. I'm in bondage. I can't do what I've been called to do. I've got to be an administrator. See, most people don't realize when you come out of college as a Bible college student, unless you've been in business and you have a background, you have very little knowledge as an administrator. I mean, for me, it was all I can see is God called me to win souls. And so when I get out of here, I'm going to go talk to everybody I can about Jesus. Then all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, there's bylaws, there's rules, there's regulations, there's other things you got to adhere to. There's all these things. And I thank God for people like Mary and Jackie in the church. When I see them doing the administrative stuff, I thank God for all the people that are working in the back. When I see that taking place, it tells me that the body is alive and well, and they're working, and they're using all of the gifts that God has given them and the abilities and talents. And if you do it in the Spirit, it'll just bring glory to the Father, and it'll continue to grow and bring good news to the people of this community. That's why I love the church. It's not bogged down in the administrative stuff that says, wait a minute, I can't minister because people are sitting around arguing about what color the pews should be or the color of the walls should be, or, you know, get into all this stuff that's not even relevant. The church has got to keep its purpose in focus, and that is to proclaim the gospel and to see that souls get into heaven. So I had this privilege, and over the years, I set up, well, my son set it up. I wasn't smart enough. An email setting. I don't know if you ever know what a bulletin board service is or was, pre-email days. But I communicated with those 90 pastors for several years. I shared their heartaches and their hurts and what they wanted to do for Christ, but how their hands were tied. And the only thing they'd got out of my stuff was, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Don't try to lead yourself. And it was great. And then as I was preparing this message, I started thinking about what it means for all of us to be able to use ourselves and let God use us to glorify God. I thought of the truck driver that I watched pray in a restaurant one day. These things come back to your memory. I didn't want to glorify me. But I remember I was sitting there and the Holy Spirit hit me and he was praying for his food and God said, you're going to pay for his meal. Of course, I said, I hope he's not eating much, but no, I didn't say that. I just got up and nonchalantly slipped a bill on his table and said, thank you for sharing your faith. Walked away, just looked at me like, wow. See, I started thinking about that and I thought, how can a Christian minister to other people instead of ministering to themselves? I mean, have you ever thought about it? Have you ever seen anybody? I have. I've seen people pray. I've seen families pray. Have you ever thought about, well, you know what? Holy Spirit, is there anything that I can do to bless what they're doing for the glory of God? And I thought about that and I thought, Lord, you have so many doors of opportunity you open up that you want to bring to us individually so that we can spread this joy that we have. Paul was excited about it. He said, this is my prayer that your love may abound. There was a district superintendent one year that wrote a song. It was a catchy little song. It said, let your love abound. Let your love abound. Let your love abound. Are you singing it, Mary? It did go that way, though. Let your love flow through me. Let your love flow through me. Let your love flow through me. You like my song here. Make me a blessing, Lord, wherever I may be. Keep me pure, keep me clean, so that you may be seen. Let your love flow through me. It's pretty cool, isn't it? And it was catchy, and it kept going. And I'm thinking, I got to let his love flow through me. You know, I had something that kind of altered part of my direction tonight. It happened to me. You see, you must have something to give thanks for in order to give back. Amen? You got to have something to give before you can give back. You got to have the love and the joy and the forgiveness of God in your heart before you can give it back. If you don't have it, you can't give it. So this weird thing happened to me. Now, things that happened to me, I don't consider coincidences. I've watched God work in too many ways. A guy came onto Messenger one day. His name was Mike Adams. Said he was a Nazarene pastor in West Virginia. Tell by the picture that he was an elderly guy, his wife as well, no offense to us elderly. And so I sent him a little note. I said, "Mike, so good to hear from you. My gosh, I'm glad to hear you're still among the living. What a wonderful surprise." And he communicated back to me today. Oh, he said, "You must be Mike Adams, the evangelist, that you're thinking about." I'm just Mike Adams. So I communicated with him on Messenger, and I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "But you know Mike Adams, the evangelist?" He says, "Yes, but I can't tell you where he's at right now." But he says, "I'm pastoring in West Virginia, a little church, and I've got about 38 years in of pastoring." And he says, "You know," he says, "I want to ask you a real unusual favor." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Would you pray for me, my wife?" I said, "Absolutely." He says, "I'm in a small church." And he says, "What's happened is they've become very carnal." You know what carnal is in the scripture? It's flesh. It means that they walk out of the spirit instead of in the spirit. When people become carnal, they look at the things of this world from the fleshly point of view, and that's the way they make their decisions. When churches become carnal, it really gets bad. Because then you have boards that argue among each other. You have people that can't agree on anything because one person says, "Well, that room should be pink and that room should be blue, and, you know, let's just have a discussion about this," and they go on and on and on, and fleshly things gets in the way of the Spirit of Christ. And he said, "They've become so carnal." And he says, "I'm trying to be humble and pray that God would break the carnality so that we could continue the work of the gospel." And so I said to him, "I go to a great church." I said, "God has blessed me. I'm in the church of God now. And God has put me there because that's where he wants Mary and I." And I said, "I'm going to tell you that I will not only pray for you, but I will ask the congregation to pray for you." And he wrote back and said, "Thank you so much. That's so much appreciated. That there's somebody on the front line that will lift me up and my wife in prayer." Now, here's what I thought about. See, we pray for a lot of things. We pray for people. We pray for healing. We pray for our needs. Remember, even Jesus said it in the Lord's Prayer, you know, when he told us to pray for our needs. "Give us this day our daily bread." Told that to everybody. Why would Jesus say that if we weren't to ask for it, right? We do all of that, but here's my burden tonight I want to share with you. Would some of you consider praying and joining me to pray for pastors around this United States and around the world? You see, nobody knows unless you've been there, right? Some of you have had careers all your life. You've done certain things. You know all about that career. Some people wouldn't even know what you know about that career because it's never been shared. But I can tell you, in the mid-80s, someone gave me a book, and it was called Pastors at Risk. Then the second volume came out, and it was called Pastors at Risk. What it was talking about, that in the future, what was coming was a major disrespect for pastors and for righteousness. My friends were there. We live in a world that has actually disrespected people, especially people that are clergy, that are proclaiming the gospel and the good news. But here's the good news. Your prayers as the scripture says in 2 Chronicles, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he'll heal the land. And so I want to just throw this little bit in there that how about the next time you do pray, pray not only for your pastor, because trust me, he really needs prayers. Not that he has anything wrong with him, but he needs strength and he needs encouragement. And the enemy's coming at pastors at all different sides. Did you know that one of our sound men, Michael Day, that his son is a pastor out in California? I just texted him the other day. I told him to keep the faith, fight the good fight. God will bless him, and he is. You see, what happens is we forget about those that are on the front line. We retired from our military uniform, and we come back into base, and it's pretty comfortable here. But there are people out there that we're here because they were there, or we were once there, and people are here because we prayed for one another. So I'm thinking of Paul, and he was so blessed. He said, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So here tonight, I want to expand your horizons for just a moment, if you'll allow me. There are pastors all over the world. Forget about the labels tonight, please. There are pastors that love Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They're doing their work and their mission that God has called them to do. And you may feel that because you don't even know them, your prayers aren't important, but that's not true. Remember who's listening to your prayers. The God who supplies all of our needs. Your prayers, this church, has a marvelous blessing upon it now because of God's people. I have been privileged, and I'm enjoying. Someone once said, what are you doing? They said, they're living the dream. I'm living the dream. Do you know what? I don't have to wake up every morning and try to figure out how to raise $5 million. I don't have to become a fundraiser. I don't have to do all the expectations that everybody in the congregation wants of their pastor. I just get to be a pastor. And I'm having time of my life. I can call you on the phone and pray for you, and I sincerely am not limited to the amount of time. Well, I'm in kind of a hurry because I got other things to do. You know, that's what we need for people that are the servants of Christ. We need the team. And the team lifts them up before the Father. It's my prayer that you would do exactly that. Let your love flow through us, God. Let it go way beyond the borders of these walls. Let it go all over the world, in different corners of the world where some pastor is serving, maybe even serving in a small little rundown hut somewhere, trying to win a group of people that hardly can even understand who Christ is. Missionaries around the world, all lifting up Christ, the banner of Christ. There's a change a-coming, the songwriter said. And we're part of it. So, as I used to say years ago, and I'll say again, when I was a surfer boy, we'd go out in the water and we'd wait for the waves. And then all of a sudden, that was before the circus days. I'd wait for the waves. And every once in a while, one would come and you'd catch it. And we're in the wave, folks, today. We're riding the wave. And it's fun riding the wave because God is moving in a mighty way. And I'm glad we're a part of it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we come to you in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, we're grateful that we can be a part of building your kingdom. Everyone here is an important piece of that puzzle. You have designed us that way. And so, Lord, we surrender to you tonight. And we ask, Lord, that you would use us and the Holy Spirit would fill us with the joy of the Lord, and that the kingdom of God might grow according to your will. In Christ's name, amen. Blessings. The other challenge I have is go through the scripture now and then and read the scriptures that are replete with God's people praying. Remember this, folks. Don't ever be ashamed of the gospel. The Bible says the rocks will cry out if you are. So stand up for the glory of God. Amen? All right, you're dismissed and you've had enough.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.